AM 1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, super pumped to be here. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We are rocking and rolling today. We got Tessa, we got Allison, we got Veronica, all vets, all pros. We're so excited to have you guys.
Good to be here.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having us.
I just listened to the Joe Rogan, Donald Trump interview on the way over here today, actually.
Same numbers as far as views go.
We're trying to get Donnie on an upcoming episode. We're going to see if that's going to happen. The schedule's kind of tight right now.
Yeah.
But he said he'd love to. Big fan of the show.
It's your schedule that's tight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Do you think that I was referring to?
Well, I'm just clarifying for the audience.
Yeah, no. DJ was a he could make it.
Right. But, yeah. It's the nicknames for me. Yeah.
My wife and I had a great time in the car the other day. I have no idea what the J stands for in Donald J. Trump. I assume it's like John or something. But we spent like a solid 15 minutes with our kids guessing what the J was, with just ridiculous answers. And we settled on Jonathan.
Right.
I think it's probably a good one. Donald Jonathan Trump.
Yeah. So, did you ever Google the answer?
No, I like Jonathan. This actually bothers me. I've been like frustrated with my dad about this recently, right? My dad is mid-70s, right? Yeah, well, I'm going to air this family drama right now, ladies. great guy, big fan, best man at my wedding, love my dad.
Aww.
But we used to have these like hour-long arguments over some like historical like disagreement, right? Mm. No, I'm pretty sure this was the general who did Operation Barbarossa or whatever, just like some big thing. And we'd have these back and forths. It was really fun. And now my dad always just pulls out his phone and Googles it. I'm like, no, I want to argue. I want to waste the next 45 minutes of my life trying to figure out what the name of that like ship was.
Come on,
you know?
Google.
It's
bonding.
It's super fun.
Yeah,
now we don't do that. We just look it up.
Wow.
Super lame. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about here on Honest to God today. We're talking about, I wrote dance stuff ? Because beforehand you said we're sort of talking, getting into the world of dance, but we didn't get any more specific. So I'm pumped for dance stuff. But first, we're going to pray.
Love it.
So any volunteers? We didn't figure that out ahead of time.
I got
you. You got it, Tessa.
Let's go.
All righty. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much for the gift of being here today. The gift of our bodies, the gift of dance, the gift of health. Everything that you have given us, Lord, it is from you. And we just ask to simply glorify you while we're here today and to speak only truth about the goodness of dance, of our bodies, of you, Lord, and just to always be rooted in that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I've been asked not to grade prayers anymore. I am obeying the rules that have been set forth to me. But if I were to grade it, which I'm not going to, that would have been like a 92, 91 and a half, rounds up to a 92. Yeah, that was great.
Thank you.
It was great.
I think you should lead us in prayer next time.
Not doing that.
And we'll do the judging.
You can totally do that. I'm so incredibly open to that. We've had a couple of priests on before, and Julie would like look at me like over his microphone. And the answer is no. I'm a coward every single time. There's no way, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, let's do one fun fact apiece. And let's go crazy and start with Tessa this time.
Oh my goodness. I didn't even prepare this time. Okay. Fun fact is, I'm trying to make it about dance, man. I started teaching when I was 14.
Okay.
That's a fun fact.
How old were the students?
They were 2 to older than me, so 2 to 18, which is a little awkward.
No, some of them were older than you?
Yeah.
I was, not to brag.
That was humbling.
I was the youngest principal, high school principal in the United States one time for about 8 months, right? Eventually someone who was younger than me got hired somewhere in some other city, at least from an article I read. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And I had all these teachers, the vast majority of which were older than me. And so my age, I like super kept secret all the time because I was terrified they were going to realize you're like 20 years younger than me and you're telling me I need to come to your office to talk about an incident in my classroom.
Did you have a beard back then?
No. That's part of the reason why I grew the beard, actually.
I see.
Because it adds some age there.
Right.
I'm always trying to encourage like the gray hairs to grow in, too. I want disheveled Civil War general look. Like that's my like
salt
that's what
and
I'm
pepper.
Shooting for. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, all right. That's cool. All right, what about you, Allison? What you got?
I can solve a Rubik's Cube in under 28 seconds.
You say an over 28 seconds?
I'm just kidding. No, I just for a second wanted that to be like,
I was like, how do I not know this?
I misunderstood. I thought it was a joke answer, and you said in over 28 seconds. I was like, yeah, I guess I could do. Like, yeah. You gave me enough time.
I just appreciate that you thought it was real for a second. We're twins, and you still thought there was a chance.
You guys, really
was
you guys like, are related?
You know,
we've been close so long.
This is my little brother.
Aww. Yeah. That's beautiful. Okay, is that...
No, I recently jumped on the sourdough train, the sourdough bread.
We need to talk later because I'm
you too?
Interested. No, but I'm interested. Okay.
We're not referring to an actual train that carries bread. We're talking about just the lifestyle.
Be, bread is life.
Yeah. Yes. My wife, you started my wife. My wife's all about the sourdough. She's really good. She makes the vast majority now of the bread that we eat, like sandwiches and everything. She makes the bread. It's really cool.
You guys are going to be fine during the apocalypse.
Oh, yeah. I feel good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I feel solid. Kind of rooting for it, if I'm honest.
I know.
A little more free time.
Yeah.
All right, cool. I like that.
Yeah.
What about you? What you got, Veronica?
I also didn't prepare a fun fact. You're saying it should be about dance. My mind goes blank.
Hers was about bread trains.
True.
It doesn't have to be dance. It could be about anything. Anything about koalas?
We just got back from a trip to Europe, and I got a second cartilage piercing in Florence.
Hey!
Mainly to say...
Where'd you get that piercing, Veronica?
Yeah, in Italy.
You're so cool. Why were you guys in Europe?
It was kind of a religious
pilgrimage.
Yeah.
We went with two friends, but we just hit up all the basilicas, cathedrals, churches, sites, like, and Greece, where St. John wrote Revelation in the cave.
Did you go to Patmos?
Yes.
I've been to Patmos.
Really?
Yes.
Did you go in the cave?
Yeah, we went to the cave.
Did you touch where his, like, hand was inside the cave?
I don't remember that.
It was like a prayer hand spot.
Was it packed, the cave? Were there a lot of people in the cave?
It wasn't crazy.
Groups of tours.
Yeah,
when we were there, there was like an Orthodox like liturgy going on.
Oh, wow.
And so, and they were all crossing in constantly the whole time.
Head, belly button.
Yep.
And then you don't cross, then you cross.
I was trying to remember the right, not to do it our way, but to do it there. You know, it was super cool. And I remember I tried to touch a goat on Patmos.
As
you know,
there's
like the monastery up top.
Yeah.
And I followed this goat for like 30 minutes. And everybody was saying all these lame things like, we have to go and the boat's going to leave. And I'm like, no, I'm going to touch the goat. And the goat kept running away from me.
Us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's real. So you went to Greece, you went to Italy. Where else did you go?
Yeah.
Just Turkey.
Oh, and
Ephesus? I was trapped in the basement of a leather goods store in Turkey, in Ephesus, Turkey. My cab driver drove me and the group I was with. It was like a cab, like van, and we were like, "Where are we going?" He's like, "You have to come with me." And I was like, "This is weird. I'm not kidding." They walked us into a basement of like
right
a
here.
Strip mall leather goods store. Closed the door. We're in a dark room. We're sitting at all these little tables. Some stranger comes out and gives us Turkish coffee.
Okay.
We're like, this is different.
At least they're nice.
Then the lights turned on and there was a fashion show. All these people come. This is a true story.
Like, is this a fever dream right now?
True story. That's how it felt. They all come out with like their leather jackets and there's like, it was wild.
I love this.
And then they brought us upstairs. We were like, we don't want to buy any leather stuff.
Who are you with again?
My wife. This is when we were just dating.
Okay.
Our theology teacher from college and a bunch of other folks. Yeah,
that's incredible.
Wow.
That's hilarious. That should have been your fun. This is
John Power, Molly Applegate were there. It was a party.
Applegate's, I think they're coming to speak at our Catholic Center.
Oh, really?
Soon,
the parents?
Yeah.
No way.
I think. Yeah. Don't quote me, but
cool.
I know I saw them on the list, so
that's my fun fact is that I got to go to Kennesaw and hang out with Tessa not too long ago.
Yes.
Super fun.
He's like, awesome, forget Ephesus, forget Patmos.
I do have another fun fact that kind of ties in, and it's just it's a whole moment that like we're kind of all here right now because we actually all met doing a dance thing.
This is
like
true.
A dance, and I had no idea they were Catholic. I was like just going through a conversion, and then literally Godwink, saw them at mass that same day.
Oh, yay!
Later, and then
cool.
I was like, no way, they're Catholic too. So I mean, the
middle
world
circle.
Just aligned. Yeah,
and
this
years
is
later,
circle.
We're like in
here
this
we are.
Dance circle again,
like with the Lord, with good people, honest to God.
That's really cool.
Praise Jesus, only He can do that. So.
True. Amen.
Yeah.
So I want to get into all things dance, but first off, I just want to ask the question. Whoever wants to answer it, great. Sort of big picture.
Right.
Why are we having an episode about dance right now? Like, what is the... Because obviously we're not just going to talk about... We're looking at this through sort of a theological or religious lens, right? Why? Why do we have a whole episode on this? What is it that somebody, myself included, might be missing, right, in regards to the bridge between dance and the church?
I mean, how can we not? It's a huge part. I mean, we were just thinking about, like... Or talking about, rather, how... Yeah, dance is such a good way to connect, to evangelize, to get out of that box of self. And I don't know if y'all have anything to add to that, but I mean, it can't be skipped over.
I think it's a superpower that hasn't totally been like recognized yet, but it's very much there. Yeah, and you can connect to so many different people and evangelize using dance because you don't really have to speak the same language. You can literally just share in this beautiful, joyful experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the language of our bodies, the language of the soul is dance, I think. And especially now in this time where it's like we're experiencing so much depression and sadness, it's totally an epidemic, especially in this country. Sure. And dance, I think, is like the antidote to so much of that. And if you can share that with people, it's like fully community building and it's good for you on many different levels.
Yes. And I think too, there's a revival within dance that's so needed, especially in today's culture of death and sexualizing everything good in a perverse way. Mm-hmm. I think it's just for like-minded individuals that see the beauty within dance and the capability it has. To use it for the good, to, you know, build community, to praise God, and, yeah, to facilitate relationship with one another and self and to God.
Yeah.
It can be a conversation with God, just you dancing.
I love that.
Yeah, and, I really want to dig into the what and the how from a lot of that, because it makes sense to me, right? Anything that is beautiful is innately religious, and is innately a reflection of God.
Yes.
We've talked about this before on the show, but you can give me, like, the most blasphemous, awful song ever, but the fact that they're tying notes together, they're making a melody, or there's a harmony involved, whatever it is, right, you're saying that order, what it is it's a reflection of the divine, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of funny. I always think about that, right? The guy who's trying to write something that's particularly evil or awful in some way.
Yeah.
And, dude, really, all you're doing, everything that's good about this is literally a reflection of God. That's the only reason anybody is listening to this.
Yes.
And I can see that with dance.
Yeah.
With dance, too. What were you going to say, Tessa? Sorry.
Yeah, no, you kind of hit it. Like, I my mind was brought back to when I heard, I think it was on Christopher West's, one of his podcasts, and he just brought up the fact that, like, capital B beauty, but like here, dance being something beautiful and communion and how like to look at the world sacramentally, and that to be kind of like a sacramentally looked at it, what is that pointing us to? It's pointing us to heaven and the reality of heaven. And I hope they're having a big dance party up there.
I'm
sure the Trinity is, you know, just in itself. So to kind of have that.
Just like that. Yeah. It looks just like that all the time. I like it a lot.
Right. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Harmony.
Yes, but to have it as something beautiful that actually points the lowercase b beauty of dance, of community, pointing our eyes up to heaven, which is capital B beauty, God himself.
Give me those definitions one more time. Can you flesh that out a little bit? Lowercase b beauty versus capital B beauty?
Yes. So lowercase b beauty, yes, lowercase b beauty being anything in this world that like God has created that is beautiful, that is, we can have the opportunity to look at sacramentally to point us to heaven and to point us to God, which God being divine is that capital B beauty. He is the infinite beauty that are like really what our hearts truly long for, and our anything that's lowercase b beauty is pointing to that, and that's why we love it so much.
Yeah, it's like a sort of a Thomistic like degrees of perfection argument, right? Not argument, but like that's sort of the way of understanding it, right? A butterfly and my daughters and my wife and Mozart are all beautiful because they are reflections of the beauty, right? God, which is beauty itself.
Amen.
Beauty is not an adjective that describes God. God is beauty, the noun,
right?
From which all things that are beautiful stem.
Amen. Come on.
Cool.
All
right. Cool. I dig it. So let's, once again, I want to get into the nitty gritty and sort of the what's and the whys and the hows here in a second, but can we kind of go big picture first and say, like, why did you get into dance to begin with?
Did we have a choice?
I was going to say, what's the saying? Like, dance chose me, I didn't choose dance. It kind of feels that way, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's taking it?
Go ahead. I've got a cute little story for how I got into it.
Story,
I think I was about 2 years old, and my family used to eat at this Mexican restaurant by our house, and there's my dance studio that I grew up right by it, and at 2 years old, I had run into the doors, middle of the dance floor, and I was just with these older girls, and my grandma, who's actually in town right now, I'm so happy about that, but she was like, oh my goodness, like, Tessa, what are you doing? Like, I'm so sorry to the dance teacher. And I, from that on, they signed me up for classes, and again, it was just one of those dance chose me.
That
chose me again.
Is a cute little story. Yeah, I like that a lot.
Never left ever since. So
wow, the intuitive nature within little Tessa.
Yes, just run out of that dance floor. No idea. I just heard music. People were dancing, having a good time. Like, I'm there.
Two of these things go together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, we started playing soccer, and then my mom just noticed that we were constantly dancing in the house, so I think she just kind of funneled us into some classes.
We wanted to. We were on the soccer field, like, grooving out. Like,
let's groove tonight. Yeah.
And they're like, you're supposed to run.
Yeah.
We're like, but the groove.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. The boogie.
And so we begged. We're like, let us dance. And we were so tiny for the longest time that she put us in a younger class just because we were so small. So we're like,
late bloomers.
Super beginner. Yeah, but we knew, like, this is it. This is home. This feels... Right, and yeah, never left ever since then. We were probably 6 years old, seven. Yeah.
And you guys are all still heavily involved right now,
yes.
Right?
Oh,
yeah. And, what does that mean?
We do a lot of performances on the weekends, whether we're in Los Angeles or Atlanta. We'll either be performing at, like, weddings, bar mitzvahs, quinceañeras, corporate events,
Adam
festivals.
Adam Sandler's daughter's bat mitzvah.
Adam Sandler's bat mitzvah, yeah. Okay, recall.
With Adam Levine.
Look at that.
See, I remember this. I remember stuff.
Also,
Jeff Goldblum. I just have to say his name.
We did dance with Jeff Goldblum.
I feel like if I say him enough, he's going to appear.
He is sponsoring
us. We keep on not getting him. We keep missing each other.
It's your schedule.
Yeah, every time. Jeff is like, I think he's up there right now, but we said, no, Jeff, we got the dance thing.
Hey, brother, hang on one second. You'll be here next.
Yeah.
He's so anxious.
And then we also teach a lot as well. So ballet, tap, jazz, ballroom, contemporary, whatever the event calls for. That's where, and that's honestly too where a lot of evangelization can take place as well, whether that be with students or even when you're performing. Depending on the performance, it can be set in a way that is so moving that it kind of, like, people will come up to us afterwards and want to talk about it. And where does this come from? And where does that joy come from? And where do you get that vigor for life? And it's like, well, let me tell you a little story, you know?
Yeah.
So to me, that's a great way you can evangelize. And I think, too, we kind of ran into that in Europe these past 20 days. Just being around, surrounded by so much beauty, it's like, wow, this... You know innately, like, God, Jesus, Mary, the Bible, this all matters. But when you're, like, in the thick of it, and you're like, wow, this is where the apostles actually preached for the first time, and this is where they walked, it's like... You realize you're a part of this family, and you realize this is the only thing that matters. And how can I use the gifts that I've been given in the way that they did as well? Because they lived out their mission. Like, they did their thing for the cause of the kingdom. So the only thing that's different from us now is that we're alive, and they are not. So it's now our job to further the cause of the kingdom. And especially now, in this time, you know? It's like the pressure cooker is under the world right now, and it's very clear. It's not a comfortable place to be on the fence anymore. You really have to choose, am I going to be, you know, an army for God in that army, or am I going to be playing in the devil's camp?
Yeah, and so I guess in that same vein, because you work professionally doing dance stuff too, right? You teach and whatever.
I dabble.
But
yes.
So, unfortunately, with the arts in general, it seems like there's a heavy dose of relativistic, modernistic grossness, right? Is that something you're running into a lot, especially out in LA? I know we talked about that when we had you guys on a while back, but what's that look like?
Definitely, and I think too, kind of going back to Europe and what you were saying, being inspired by all the beautiful art, it was like when people put their faith in Christ, the most beautiful sculptors came to the front, painters, architects, engineers, like in every field, people were dedicating their lives to making the most beautiful and intricate pieces that we still appreciate today. And so then when, you know, in this topic of dance, you see like what's at the forefront now. It's so clear. It's like we are so looking the other direction. Like we are worshiping Satan, and that's why everything is so degraded. That's why it's so low level, and you still have amazing artists, but they're just putting their genius in the field of like manure. And it's like we're capable of so much more. It's like you walk inside of a Catholic cathedral and you're like, let me perform to my, you know, the best of my ability. Let me train. Let me actually put intention and focus into this gift versus just the basic, boring, and view-hungry kind of performance.
Yeah.
Veronica, like I'm sorry. Can you scoot, like, 6 inches that way? Yeah. Like, just... Yeah, you can move your chair. It's fine. Yeah.
To the right?
Yeah. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Yep. There you go. Cool.
Is that right?
We're going to add 5 seconds.
You got it.
Go ahead.
What were you going to say, Jessa?
Yes, like that point of like either worshiping Satan, but even being in an environment where it's like turned inward, like this felt like, what am I getting from it? Because I know, like, y'all can probably, you know, agree, but being in a in an environment of, like, a lot of dance, not that it's, like, a bad thing, like, dance competition world, but a lot of it's, like, how can I do better? How can this, like, glorify me? But, like, kind of being in that environment, and then I got, praise God, got exposed to this beautiful community, Lolex. I think I talked about it last episode that I was on. But it's totally faith-based, Christian-based, and the focus is no longer on self, but on the Lord and just the community there. It was
Say it again, different. By name. We'll put a link in the show notes. But what's the...
Lolex Storytellers. Okay. Beautiful Christian Catholic company that they do live productions of musicals and stuff. So it's not just dance, it's actually singing, acting, all that. But kind of going from this world, for me personally, going from this world of like competition dance, which is, it is beautiful. But there are times where it can turn inward and sure. It gets stressful, and just the difference of like that stress and then the peace that comes from like that community being on centered in Christ sure. and what that looks like is so beautiful. But yeah, I don't know if y'all had anything to add.
Shout out to Danny Dickinson.
Yes.
Yeah. We're trying to get her on the show. She actually started Lolek when she was like 12.
Yeah.
Yes. Stop it. Yeah. That's super cool.
Homeschool Catholic family.
So yeah.
Trying really hard to get her on the show. I've been bugging her a lot.
We need her to get. Yeah, we need to get on there. Jeff, we'll bump you back.
Yeah.
Not again. Sorry, brother. No, that's super, super cool. So you're, like, you guys are actually back and forth between here and L.A., right? Is there, and I'm not fishing for an answer, I honestly have no idea. Mm-hmm. Is there a distinction in culture with the dance community here versus L.A.? Are there places where... I don't know, you would say you should really get into X, Y, or Z kind of dance here versus this over there. I have no idea about this world, so I'm just curious.
Yeah, I think LA is kind of a melting pot in a lot of ways, but it's definitely where dance is, there's like a spotlight on mm-hmm. LA. So dancers flock to LA to be seen or to learn more. And I think Atlanta has its own flavor for sure, mm-hmm. but they're definitely watching LA for cues and things like that. And I think if you want to have a career in dance, unfortunately, it is primarily in LA, mm-hmm. and unfortunately, that's going to be behind your average pop star, and oftentimes, it's going to be glorifying yourself, and even worse, the devil. You know?
That's what I was going to ask. What does a career in dance look like? Like, what does that mean?
I think it's different for everybody, and you can get creative, but I think generally, it would be like, oh, book a tour, and, you know, dance with an artist, mm-hmm. or be a teacher at a convention, or just a teacher in general, or dance at events. I mean, we've been lucky enough to kind of just, like, go through these spaces, almost like Star Wars, like, these are not the droids you're looking for, and just really do our own thing,
right.
You know, and very clear about, like, what our standards are, our morals are, and just, you know, not budging by any means.
Love that.
Do you want to add anything to that? As far as a career in dance goes,
I think you kind of
the entertainment space. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't always have to be these elaborate performances.
Sure.
I mean, that's fun, but it can also just be like getting people on the dance floor, getting them comfortable, showing them moves everybody can do, and just kind of breaking the ice.
Yeah. So I really want to dig into that. And this is kind of more of the brass tacksy things. You said things about evangelization through dance. You talk about the way that this is. I mean, if I'm being fully honest with you, right? It's something that I would be really nervous about letting my daughters do, just because I have this impression of what that looked like, kind of the arts in general, which I hate, by the way.
Yeah.
I was a big musical theater guy. I did all the play. I love that stuff, but with my own kids, all the stuff that I was exposed to, by the time I was in high school and stuff,
back
pretty
in the
gross.
60s.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Pretty gross stuff, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So I want to hear all the positives. I want to talk about evangelization. Yes. I want to talk about how you do that. I want to talk about how you use this clearly God-given gift, right, to promote him as opposed to yourself. I know that's a huge question, but we got a lot of time to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, there's Christian dance studios out there, you know. There's plenty of more of them now than probably even back when we were kids. Oh, so, yeah. I mean, the options are definitely out there. And you're going to have to put your kids in some type of physical activity anyway. So if you can also mix in creativity with that, that's why I think, unbiasedly, dance is the best art form. Because, you know, you can do cheerleading, you can do this and that,
I really want you to go down that rabbit hole and tell me why dance is the best art form.
It really instills discipline, first and foremost, and I think that's so important for kids, especially today, because ADD is such a thing, you know, that's another story. But, you know, dance is definitely going to nip that in the bud, I think, faster than most art forms or just, like, physical outlets. Mm-hmm. It really allows you to develop your sense of creativity and, like, oh, you know, choreographing, that's a whole nother world. How to put, like, cool moves together. And it's a really good workout too. You know, it's like instead of just going to the gym and it's like it's leg day, so I'm just doing my quads and my calves. You know, like, you're doing it's a full body workout. Yeah,
and mind, body, mind, and spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. You know? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The language of the soul.
Mm-hmm. Truly.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're 70% water, so it's like if water stays stagnant for too long, bacteria is going to grow. So you have to constantly be moving.
That's good.
A word.
That's really good.
No, but it's true. And if you can move your whole body, you're going to definitely remain healthier much longer. And I can always tell, too, even women, like, in their 70s and 80s, I can always spot a dancer.
Oh, yeah.
Truly.
And the posture?
It's the posture. Yeah. It's always posture. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, yes, I was a ballerina in my time. Once a dancer, always a dancer. Yeah. It's true. Yeah.
Truly, yeah. I wanted to add, too, kind of going back to your question, like, I know for me, again, growing up in that dance world, there was a huge moment in my conversion where I was like, all right, Lord, like, I'm just going to have to surrender the whole dance thing to you and, like, completely give it up. Like, nothing about it is going to be holy or whatever. And I was really battling with that for, I want to say, a good year or so. And I remember there was, like, a piece of me that was just not there. But truly, like, he provide, like, God will always provide wherever you are in the world, wherever you are in life. If you have a passion for dance, if that is something you want to do / love to do, he has an outlet and he's ready to give it to you. You just have to ask. For me, that looked like garden, the production garden that the Archdiocese did. That was really beautiful and such a beautiful take on being on stage with dance and not in the way that I was used to and the ways that I thought, like you were saying, like how your daughters, you'd be scared, like me too. But there are outlets and ways, and it's all the Lord providing, and he is the infinite creator. He just has so much creativity. He will always be coming up with ideas, with companies, anything that, you know, our hearts desire. He is our Father. He is good, and he is ready to give that as long as we glorify him.
When we close here in a little bit after the next segment, I really do want to just sort of do a resource dump.
Love
if you guys are comfortable. Like, where should I go if I,
love
myself
it.
Or my daughter or my niece or whoever is into this, and I want to sort of give them the best, sort of set them up as best as I can, because, you know, we have free will and whatnot, right?
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Which is great and inconvenient. to have them set up, because with any art form, unfortunately, I hate that, because historically the arts is like, that was our, and the fine arts in general, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
And God doesn't, like, want us to be taken away from that. Like, that is not, like, to see his children, you know, taken away from art forms that are good, that are beautiful. Well,
and we shouldn't surrender them either.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I love. Where I've seen it the most notably, right, sort of in my life, where we've sort of been slowly turning that tide, is in regards to Christian media. I talk about it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Christian media, particularly movies and television, were the most hilarious. I would joke, it's the worst, Christian movies were the worst thing about movies and Christianity, right, when I was a kid. Right? All the worst combined.
Uh-huh.
And we really are turning that tide. And so but we're called to do that in all art. We own art. Art is our thing. Everyone who ever did it good because
God is the ultimate creator.
All right, we are about to run. We're about to have to go to break. We'll do that after we get back. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. You're listening to Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160, The Quest.
Let's see. I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM. Too.
Please prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We're still rocking and rolling. We got Tessa, we got Allison, we got Veronica. All the heavy hitters are here today, guys. The movers and the shakers. This is where it happens. We're talking about dance. We're going to get into dance and sort of a theology of the body tie-in this segment. And we're going to get into... I really want to dig more into this dance as a method of evangelization, too. But before we do that, producer Julian wants to say something. He said he has a fun fact.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just about dance, but one of my fun facts
just
is...
Just about dance?
Do you know who you're talking to?
On relation to dance, while we're segueing, I'm just going to keep it on dance. I spent 12 years dancing. I did everything from tap, jazz. I took 1-hour-long ballet class. I was like, that was not for me. But tap, jazz, hip-hop, swing... actually all ballroom. It was kind of a ballroom class that I took for two semesters. It was a lot of fun. But yeah, 12 years of dancing.
About 70% of our student body shows up after school on Fridays once or twice a month to do swing dance.
Oh, that's
awesome.
Amazing.
And the kids are the ones who do. And then at the dances, they always have at least like one like segment of songs that's swingy. And it's really cool.
Yeah. What I liked about it the most, and I shared with them off the air when you were stepped away, but it was a Catholic-owned dance studio. So it was not about all the competition where you have to wear as little clothing as possible, because that's just, that probably is the disordered part of dance that we don't, actually, we should talk about that, right? That if we can get into that, the competition, but it was Catholic-owned, loved the dance studio, and shout out, it's not a thing anymore, so I can't shout it out, but Cobb Dance Academy when it was a thing, and Mary Rao, the founder, one of the founding members of St. Catherine of Siena Kennesaw.
I should dance more. I like to dance. I've just never been good at it, but I really enjoy it. I'm a big believer in the fingertips and the elbows.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of this.
Can't go wrong.
A lot of that. Ladies love it.
Uh-huh.
I told a boy one time, one of my students, he was asking me, he said, Mr. Manning, I can't dance. I said, trust me, you just got to do this. And you got to do it with confidence. I said, fingertips, elbows, a little bit of hip. A little bit of this. And every now and then you want to go crazy? Finger guns.
And he
was joking with back with me, and he said, Mr. Fant, I'm really worried about like what I'll do when every girl is trying to dance with me. And I said, you're right. Actually, if you think about it, might be an occasion of sin for breach of chastity. All the women who will be throwing themselves at you as you're doing this on the dance
right,
floor.
Right, right.
But so, powerful weapon, gentlemen, anybody watching, if you're listening,
you gotta go
you're okay. But if you're watching, gentlemen, you can pay attention. Ladies, I really ask that you not dwell on that segment right there, because it's powerful. It is powerful.
Yeah. But if you are listening, now is your opportunity. If you're listening in your car, make sure you pull over before you do this. But go on to YouTube and type in Honest 2, that is the number 2, not T-O, God, and subscribe. And as well as like this video, and please leave us a comment down below so we can continue to evangelize to many more young adults.
Tell us your favorite dance style, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Comment down below your favorite dance style.
Whichever one gets the most likes, we'll do a short of me and producer Julian dancing to that dance style.
Ooh, yes, we will.
And it will look just like this. No matter what it is. No matter what style. Yeah. big of the Afrobeat.
I
said earlier I was listening to that Rogan Trump podcast.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It was between Afrobeats. I was going back and forth. 5 minutes of this,
real
5 minutes of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was pretty tough. All right. I want to get into the theology of the body tie-in piece. Because after this, right, we're going to Hidden Lake. Are y'all the ones who are leading that?
No.
Who's doing
that? Have Uta?
Oh, Uta from California.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did she fly out for that?
She did.
Believe so.
She did?
Yes.
Uta from California.
What a woman.
Flew here.
Yeah. She's
to
amazing.
To throw a dance party
German
for
lady.
Us.
So yes. Sweet.
Super
so
excited. Awesome. Mm-hmm. But the whole idea is there's this tie-in between dance and theology of the body. She's going to get into it. It's going to be a really neat thing. Yeah. Can you guys speak to that? The tie-in? What is the tie-in? I can kind of see it, but I can't articulate it.
Yeah.
I honestly think what you were saying earlier about what John Paul II was saying.
Oh, yes. There is this, oh my goodness, so good. Meditation. It's called Givenness by John Paul II.
Givenness,
yes. And it's really beautiful. I mean, John Paul II is just awesome. But, just the reality of the beauty between woman and man and how we find ourselves with the other. And true identity and all of that. But yeah, true masculinity, true femininity. And yeah, like our bodies have a language and our bodies speak this language. And what Uta was saying too was this like beautiful dynamic of just men and women dancing together. It's a safe space here, at least we have a safe space. And how when the woman is just, you know, reverence and kept in this safe space, this loving gaze, this pure gaze, she can then be this free creature who she was created to be. There's a beautiful Latin word for that. I don't know what it is.
insert.
But it also ties into that meditation on givenness too, and kind of how when Christ came and he was like kind of going back to Cain and Abel, and Cain just killed Abel, and God's like, are you, or where's your brother? And he's like, am I my brother's keeper? And Christ kind of saying like, yes, you are, and especially to men, to all of us, because we are mankind, but especially to men. You are your brother, your sister's keeper, and keeping her dignity. It should be the object of respect, not an object of use. And then when she is felt feels that, she is then safe and free to be herself too. And that just beautifully ties into dance, because when a man and woman are dancing together, there's a leader, there's a follower. That reality that we are speaking with words is now being like given in our bodies, which is now visible, which is just so cool.
How do we regain that like understanding? Because I think about every dance I ever went to, from high school to like clubs and college and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was the exact opposite of everything that you just said. Technically dancing.
Because
I guess.
Yes, but technically dancing, but that the switch here is that in that arena, in that area, it is self-focus. What can I get from this person? How can I glorify myself, glorify me, rather than this person in front of me? How can I reverence the gift of this person? And it's now a disinterested gift of self, having an outward look to that person, really putting them first. That I think that's the key difference, maybe.
But how do we retake it? I understand the difference. How do we change it? Because it was not long ago at all that the types of things that happen in gymnasiums across the country during homecoming dances would have been seen as this anathema. You would have to be some sailor at some awful gross port somewhere with a lot of people you shouldn't be associating with, to experience anything like that. And now it's not just commonplace. I would say it's the vast, vast majority of what we see as sort of dancing nowadays.
I think the root cause of it, and maybe you guys have something to add to this too, but I think the root way that we can take that back is by being masters of ourselves, like going back to like what is like maybe the sin or what is a disorder, and how can I, because you know we all have our passions, that is something good, like you know, but how can those be reordered in us? And like, and of course the concrete way of this is maybe fasting, whatever that looks like for you. Everyone's different, everyone has different triggers, different things, different wounds, different patterns of sin, but regaining that, okay, my free will, how can I exercise my free will, and like my freedom that God is giving me, and not to kind of go my way, like Frank Sinatra, I think that's what he's my way. but how can I be free to choose God's way by taking that, taking my passions, having them reordered by that fasting, by that prayer, staying close to the sacraments, steeping myself in scripture, what does God say about me, about whatever it is for you, but
no, the distinction, I mean, self-mastery is something we're all called towards.
Right.
And I think that, like, I was trying to work out that same distinction in my in my mind while you were talking about sort of philosophically, I look at dance when it's done beautifully and when it's done, like you said, not for self-aggrandizement, not selfishly, You look at dances that require skill and practice and all of these things, and I'm not just talking about like a like ballet. I'm talking about the waltz. I'm talking about things that used to be every human being in the Western world knew how to do, like a basic foxtrot or box step or something like that. That was just a part of your upbringing, And all of those, once again, they require skill and all of these things, and they are. They're done for a higher purpose other than themselves, as opposed to the kind of dancing I'm talking about happening in a club in downtown Atlanta, which requires very little skill, and is totally inward facing. Okay, cool.
I think most of it's not even dancing. It's pretty much just
what's the distinction?
In the clubs.
Define it then.
When you look at it, that's primal.
Yes.
You know, it's
animalistic, hedonistic.
LOL.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it speaks to our carnal natures.
There's a lot of just like, it's just so stupid when I see some of these. And it's the thing that bothers me too is a lot of them look like they're purposely trying not to try. You know, it's just like the bare minimum. I think I'm so cool. And it's like, you're so not. I wish I could help you. I digress. I don't know. I
don't know why I was just watching Dancing with the Stars the other day, and I don't know how this is gonna tie in, but it's going to, because the Lord.
Holy Spirit.
But yeah, come Holy Spirit. But she, I think. Oh man, I wish I knew her name. She. If anyone watched that Soul Train, you would know her. I don't know. I'm too young. I'm 21. maybe I don't know. But she was on Dancing with the Stars, and she was like, "You can teach a person how to dance, but you cannot teach them how to boogie." And like, some of that might just be like a boogie thing, you know.
I can do that.
Maybe
fingertips. Sometimes
thumbs. And I think it's like not all of it. Like, I don't want to like smash on these people in the clubs too, because I know I have a feeling that maybe not everybody is like aware of like what that is. Like, I mean, we're all on this like search for beauty, cry for beauty, and it's like, where am I? Like, maybe I don't know what that is, and like maybe I am just going and like I like to dance, and I'm just gonna boogie. But then you know you have other cases where it's a little bit more than that, and selfish and, you know, maybe objectifying a woman or a man. Or
do you have a Dancing with the Stars hot take?
Yes.
Is it a morally upright thing to can you defend Dancing with the Stars, like, from a theological standpoint?
So I had a whole I can't get that deep into it, but
we had a whole episode on The Bachelorette. That was really great, actually.
This is so funny you're asking, because I started watching it in the beginning of the season and I stopped for a few weeks because I was like, it's just really like sensual and like I don't really appreciate that, and so I stopped watching it. But then I was like, but I love dance and I think there's something here. Let me go back to it. And so I went back to it the other day, and seeing the way that these men and women were being in friendship, and like seeing, like, because they have one partner for the whole season,
right.
The stars and the professionals, and I really got, the one that I was watching, I think it was the newest one, I really just got to see, like, now that they know each other well and they're in this competition together, they are genuine friends. And yeah. I'm like, wow, this can now be, it doesn't have, I mean, some people, you know, there was one, like, model or something that got in cahoots with the guy and they were, like, flirting or whatever, great for them. But then there's other ones that are, like, married and they, like, they have kids or whatever it is, and there's a genuine friendship that's happening, and they're honoring each other's bodies. And, like, yeah, it might be a little sensual, Dancing with the Stars, I don't completely agree with that, but there is a beauty in the friendship that happens.
So Dancing with the Stars is a celebrity and a professional dancer?
And a professional, yes.
Oh, that's so lame. I thought it was like a celebrity and like me. And then I had to show up and like learn how to dance. That sounds way cooler.
Get John Henry on here.
Yeah, if you guys want me to dance with the stars, I will do it.
Tag me as a celebrity. Yeah. Does this podcast count?
That makes it way less cool. So many shows would be better if they took
that.
I know. Wouldn't that be great?
Oh, just find a guy outside the studio come on.
Oh, my God.
While we're on this topic too, I do want to share something that I was sharing with them earlier, and it was so beautiful, something that this could be a segue into something else too, but there was something that Derek Huff said.
They're still laughing at the idea of me dancing. That kind of funny. It was just a little bit. I wanted to throw that out.
I'm like, calm. Okay. You were saying Derek
Huff. It's like
Huff.
Shakira, and she's with me for a whole season, and I have to like do the thing. I've never watched it. All right, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to derail what you were saying.
No, you're good. Now I want to see you and Shakira dancing together.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
His schedule's too packed.
While we're on the topic of Dancing with the Stars, I did, Derek Huff said something the other day. I mean, we can like tie into this with like the wellness piece of dance and everything, but he was mentioning how emotions are held in our bodies, and like our body, I mean, I know psychologists could probably have a lot more to say than I can on how deeply that goes and how much our bodies really do hold these emotions. But then there was like this beauty of seeing like, wow, those emotions that maybe we can't physically say, we can express with our bodies, whether that be through a boogie or like a true dance. It's all true dance, but, you know, a contemporary dance or something with the music, too, or just jamming outside with the birds and the bees and whatever that looks like. But, it truly is a way to, like, express those deep emotions that we feel as humans, praise God, and to do that with our bodies, because sometimes we aren't able to express those with our words, you know. Mm-hmm. So
get into the wellness piece. You mentioned...
Yeah.
Dance and wellness.
What is kind of on what you're saying as far as dance being able to release some of those trapped emotions, especially if you're talking like, you can go as far as discussing trauma and, you know, past repressed memories, or it can just be your day-to-day person that works a 9-to-5 and is hunched over at a desk all day and their posture just starts to kind of stick in this like computer posture mode.
And shoulders
and it's like motion can like start to create mobility and flexibility in certain areas, like your head, even just starting with your breath, you know, expanding your diaphragm, you know, starting small, and then your head, your shoulders, like that can, I've seen so many kids and even adults that like take class regularly, they'll come in kind of sheepish and their confidence is low and they're insecure or they're embarrassed to dance or express themselves. And it's like over time, they start to gain a little more confidence. They start to plant their feet into the floor. They start to have their shoulders back. And that just changes how you walk into a room.
Right.
That changes your relationship to other. Going back to like the man and the woman, you know, platonic just partner dancing is so great for, you know, your own healing, but also learning how to be in relationship to another. Learning how to follow if you're a woman, learning how to lead if you're a man. And I think it's so important today to heal the relationship between man and woman. And I think dance is such a great place to start, because we can talk at each other all day.
Right.
But that's only going to get you so far. Whereas if you can, like, be vulnerable, open to play, And then also a level of instruction and, mm-hmm. and listening and following, and especially rhythm. You can move mountains just with that list of ingredients, you know?
Right.
And there's a recipe for a great meal.
Yeah. Yes.
So
yes.
what do you say to somebody who's, I don't know, early 20s to 30s or something, right, who has zero background in dance, right? And you're saying all these nice things about it. What do you say to me, who's clearly someone who's still young and hip and with it?
I say it doesn't matter how old you are.
Yeah, but what do they do? What do you recommend right now? I'm 35 years old. What do you recommend?
35? There are...
Should I go take a class?
Yeah. There are, I know, multiple partner dancing classes and facilities out there that offer, you know, your waltz, your two-step, mm-hmm. your West Coast swing, Lindy East Coast mm-hmm. swing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, where people get together like every Friday night, every Wednesday night, every Saturday evening. There's mm-hmm. a Sunday dance party, and it's like... You go, you take a lesson for an hour, and then you just kind of freestyle. And they're always rotating mm-hmm. partners, so mm-hmm. it's not, like, awkward with one person, you know, unless mm-hmm. you're going with one person.
Yeah, it's usually a very welcoming space. Mm-hmm. I think dancers usually do a pretty good job of being very, like, open and friendly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And if that still sounds kind of terrifying, you can also literally just start in your room. Mm-hmm. Like, put on your favorite song, mm-hmm. feel silly, feel foolish.
Or
it's
with your
okay.
wife and kids if right. you're married.
Yeah, yeah,
oh,
yeah with the family.
Some serious
yeah.
kitchen dancing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm big into kitchen dancing.
You get down.
We play music.
Boogie, boogie.
And, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Something that I did that I really appreciated, I didn't appreciate it at the time, is I grew up in very deep South Georgia, right? Mm. And cotillion was like a thing. That's what you did. The kids went to cotillion. Seventh grade, you were going to do cotillion.
Bring it back.
It was every Tuesday night or whatever, and you were going to go for the next, whatever it was, 20 weeks or something. Right. And that's a thing. Everybody who was of any level of respect in the community, you sent yeah. your kids to cotillion, obviously, mm-hmm. right?
Duh.
And yeah. it was half, like, manners stuff,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Like, there were all these requirements about... Guys, you're pulling that chair out for that girl when she sits down. Mm-hmm. This is how you eat. I need you to know the difference between a whatever salad fork and a whatever fork, right?
Yeah.
But then the other half was dance, and yeah. it was all waltz and box step and foxtrot, and it was really classy. And I remember the first time leaving actually being really angry at how much I liked it, because I didn't want my mom to know that I enjoyed it.
I'm a tough man.
Guys, dance is okay
it was
for
so
you.
Cool. Well, they were pretty girls, and they smelled good, and you got to dance with them.
I wish we could say the same for
it
the guys.
It was so cool. Yeah.
No, it does. In the same way that like it's very good for women, it's also good for men, too, to kind of build that confidence mm-hmm. and learn mm-hmm. how to ask a girl and not just like freak out entirely mm-hmm. and then also that we're teaching our girls not to be super rude and deny mm-hmm. the guy, you know, you always say yes, and if you have to go, you'll just be like, I'm so honored, thank you,
yes.
but got a dip. Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And what did she say, what did Uta say? She, there was some piece, there was a word mm-hmm. and she was like, if you're gonna be like, if something, if you're going to feel foolish
for
to
the
glorify
Lord.
The Lord
yes.
or something. So it's like, there's always going to be that uncomfort that, you know, kind of getting out of that shell, but it's like, okay, what am I doing this for? I'm doing it to glorify the Lord. And
right.
every single time
big
he's going to have a gift
well,
on the other side of it.
I think it's temperament based in such a big way too.
Oh,
right?
Yeah,
so many
yeah,
people are just
point.
So much more comfortable. Like once mm-hmm. again, I don't know how to dance. I like to dance, and I'll dance in public. I don't care. It's fun. I enjoy doing that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of this. I got drug into a homecoming dance. Don't Stop Believing was playing, and a bunch of my the senior boys grabbed me and put me on their shoulders and brought me into the middle of the thing, and then I had no choice but to dance, mm-hmm. and I did.
There's
I
a movie dance. There.
It yeah. was dancing. Yeah. And they were all cheering dream. My name.
No choice but to dance.
We did that at our wedding and all of my friends' weddings. We started that. We were the first of our friend group to get married, and we did Ava Nagila, and we put them up on the chairs and carried them around. Like, no, Katya, big shout out to
yeah.
the Jews for
yeah.
coming up with that thing.
Yeah.
That was a really great
shout
idea,
out to the Jews
guys.
For sponsoring this episode.
Thanks. This episode. No, I don't think I can say it's brought to you by an entire ethnic group. That could get us in trouble.
We can edit that part out.
The Israeli Tourism Board. This
do
episode.
We want to do that at this time?
Totally uncontroversial topic.
Yeah, right. Oh, man. That's too funny.
But no, I do think it's temperament-based, but with so many things that are temperament-based, too. I was having a conversation with somebody earlier today. We were over at a friend's house. So much of it is just fake it till you make it.
Like,
yeah.
Oh,
and realizing that nobody thinks about you nearly as much as you think they do. Nobody
yeah.
thinks about you that much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always tell people, like, the goofier you feel, the better. The
yes.
more
yes.
out of your comfort zone, like, get comfortable in the uncomfortable zone.
Yeah.
Because that will get you closer to just faking it so you make it, flexing those muscles, and then you just start to actually build those muscles of somebody who mm-hmm. is comfortable walking into a dance class, or is comfortable asking a girl to dance, or mm-hmm. dancing with a guy, yeah. or just getting out in the center of the floor. And
who doesn't want that freedom? You know?
Yeah. Everybody's always going to be attracted to the person who is free.
Yes.
So if you're in the center of the floor and you're just expressing yourself, and it doesn't have to be perfect or quote-unquote cool, if yeah. you're moving, you're already breaking the mold.
And can we just talk about, like, y'all, my mind is just going to the wedding at Cana right now, and Jesus, with the purity of his heart, his mm-hmm. eyes like doves, just, I mean, every good intention, and just the joy of him on this dance floor. I don't know if he was actually dancing, but, like, if you can imagine, I mean, he made, you know, that was his first miracle. Are you kidding me?
He was one
me?
Of the Avenue Gila guys.
Right. Yeah, right?
100%.
Yeah, yeah, but really to just, like, soak in that for a minute, and just, like, to really see, like, our Lord, like, in his pureness and his, if you can't, you know, I mean, it would even take me a minute to really get there.
No, but, Jesus totally danced.
Yeah.
He's totally dancing going on.
And for how sure. amazing and how good, you know.
How beautiful that would be, like, being yeah. spun oh, yeah. by Christ.
Right. Lord.
To he totally level. Did the index fingers yeah. and the elbows.
Yeah. With the utmost time. Joy. Yeah. Yeah. Truly.
Last thing, I kind of want to close on mm-hmm. this, and then I really want to dig into the resources piece one more time. Mm-hmm. I know we've flirted with this topic a couple of times. Mm-hmm. I want to talk specifically brass tacks, evangelization. How do you evangelize people through dance? Mm-hmm. We've talked kind of a little bit about it, but I don't feel like we've gotten in. I want to know. I don't even understand what that means.
Well, kind of touching on what we were saying earlier, I really think it's a way you can reach people where you otherwise wouldn't be able to. And so just like using mm-hmm. a personal story, there was a time in LA where we were invited to this party, and we walked in, and we always have each other, so it's good. But, like, the lights were dim, the energy was pretty dim, there was a lot of familiar faces there, and we were like, okay, kind of got the idea of what we're walking into, cool, cool, cool. And I turned over to our other friend, and I was like, should we just, like, change the atmosphere, like, the environment? Like, literally, what is stopping us from just, like, switching this thing on its head, mm-hmm. or flipping it, rather? And he's like, yeah, sure, like, do whatever you guys want. And so, like, put your song on, turn it up, and literally just start dancing. Like, I don't care where we are. I may never see you again, may never see you again. You are going to have a good time, though. You think yeah. you're cool. You're a little full of yourself. It's okay. The stupider we feel, the better it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And, like, genuinely, that story comes to my mind because it's true. Everybody in that room eventually got up and started
That's
dancing.
That's so cool.
And okay, even turned the lights up a little bit, yeah. too. And wow. that was another thing. And so then eventually we were... Yeah, yeah, it was just a big old...
And there's a certain joy in cracking the shell of somebody with sunglasses, like, in a haze of smoke, like, rapping, like, quietly to themselves. Like, seeing them, like, watch you make a clown of yourself.
And they're like, oh, yeah,
the line, you
we're
know,
children
like,
again.
Wait a minute. This can be a playground, you
no,
know?
No, see, yes. okay, that makes so much more sense to me. Like, I understand it now, I think, a lot more. Because you said we're children again, right?
Yeah, yes.
I'm joyful, and I'm no longer so consumed with me and your opinions about
yes.
me.
Right.
And I'm just going to have fun,
yeah.
and I'm going to do things that mm-hmm. might
it's
make
playground.
Me feel dumb, mm-hmm. but that's
right.
okay. It's,
right.
right? And yeah. then everybody does it. Okay, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
I like
yeah.
it.
And again, with, like, the language of the body and something that, like, is spoken with words, like, we hear all the time, like, as Christians, we are known from our joy and, like, the joy being spread. Like, you know, when you light the candles at the Easter Vigil or mm-hmm. Christmas or whatever that is, and to truly see that play out and, like, the body language of these people, like, seeing this joy getting up one by one, the
yeah.
joy spreading one by person
right.
by person in one confined group.
True, because it can them. Often turn into mm-hmm. conversation, you know,
right.
and it has before, where, like, Christianity becomes centerpiece of conversation just because mm-hmm. you start to talk to these people, learn their background, mm-hmm. their family history, and it's like, Christ,
are your chakras aligned? Where
yes.
does this come from?
Hilarious.
Yes.
Yeah. yeah, they uh-huh. ask you what your sign is if it's in California. You're like, yeah.
Funny story,
actually.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Okay, that's beautiful. That answers all the questions in the world. Guys, this is so fun. I like this so much.
Me too.
What do we have? What are we looking at? 2 minutes?
We're like at 90 seconds.
Good.
Doing,
we should
rapid
lead,
fire,
lead John Henry
sticks?
In a dance.
Oh, no. Actually,
no,
treat it like the morning
I was going to say resources.
Yeah.
Resources, guys. Where, like, right now, just kind of give us a dump we can put in the show notes of different ages, dancing companies, whatever, I should think about getting involved in. I should think about getting my children involved in. Go.
St. Catharines of Siena has a dance program for
the church?
Yes, I think it's K-8, might be up till 12th grade.
Cool.
Dance for His Glory.
Dance for His Glory, that's where we grew up dancing. Big Baptist Church on 92.
And then also, depending on where you live, you can Google, like, Christian dance studios near me, or just dance studios near me. You can talk to the director, see, like, what's allowed mm-hmm. there. A lot of studios have strict rules on, we don't allow explicit music. Mm-hmm. We actually...
Dress code.
Yeah, we
yeah.
don't let our little toddlers dress in bikinis, mm-hmm. you know.
Oh, yeah,
like,
so
our
awful.
Actually
and
normal rules.
Yeah. If you need an idea, too, like, if you don't have any place, like, if you truly aren't a place, place that maybe is like a dance desert. I don't know. I know a lot of like homeschool moms or just moms in general that will like have classes, and the moms will bring their kids and just have a creative movement class in your basement. Even if you don't know, have the resources, you don't know what dance is, like
YouTube.
Look up a few things. Mm-hmm. YouTube has like already built in classes. There's probably curriculums online. Like build it yourself.
Yeah.
Have the Lord at the center. Pray about it. Like he will provide everything that's needed for that. But don't be afraid to like go start that up. Like be that person that's going to, yeah, make a space for
be the change you wish to see in the world.
Amen.
Start with a man in the mirror. Come on. Jamal.
Y'all, this is awesome. Y'all, this is a joy. The joy is spreading. I really appreciate this. And now I think we're going about a half mile up the road, and there's going to be lots of dancing.
Yeah,
lots of
word. The dance party continues.
Well, yes. Yeah, this is so much fun. Thank you all so much for being here. It is always a pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen at home, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlantis Catholic Radio. This is Julian.
Signing off.
Over and out.
This has been Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.